Greetings, and welcome to Happy and Whole in Him. I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church. The Apostle Paul writes for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter." Paul is writing to the Corinthian church in this amazing verse. Did you hear that? Paul says repentance unto life is a wonderful gift that leaves the Christian with no regrets. And what a contrast to the worldly grief we heard about. Worldly grief can be described as simply regret, because it stays only on the horizontal. Kevin DeYoung writes, "Worldly grief is not good grief. It leads to death. Because worldly grief does not allow us to see our offensiveness to God. We don't deal with our sin in a vertical direction. And therefore, we don't get forgiveness from God, the lack of which leads to spiritual death. Worldly grief deals with symptoms, not the disease. Worldly grief produces despair, bitterness, and depression, because it focuses on regret for the past, which can't be changed, or the present consequences, which can't be fully avoided, instead of personal sinfulness, which can always be forgiven. So, how can we tell the difference between godly grief and worldly grief? Well, godly grief produces repentance, a turning away from sin unto God. And Paul knows the Corinthians' grief is godly because of the evidences in their walk. He lists 7 of them that demonstrate their true repentance. Let's read it again. "For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you've proved yourself innocent in the matter." Godly grief produces earnestness, a proper attitude in the place of apathy, laziness. Godly grief also produces an eagerness to clear yourself. And Paul uses the Greek word apologia, which means apologizing or giving a defense. In other words, we don't need to hide it or ignore it when we do something unintentionally. Apologizing and owning our mistakes is evidence of godly repentance. It also produces indignation, which means you come to hate those sins. Fear is another evidence. The grace that God shows in forgiving penitent sinners should cause us to fear. The fact that God sent His own Son to die horrifically on the cross should wake our consciences to His holiness. John Newton realized this when he wrote, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved." Paul adds longing. Longing is recognizing how our sin causes us to be alienated from God and each other. And zeal, a jealous passion for God and His kingdom to come on earth in our narrow lives. And then punishment, that's a bit odd. I think this might be better translated vengeance or readiness for justice. And this desire to see justice done is an important one for Christians to consider, because there is much injustice that resides all around us and within us. And repentance unto life is not just a new way of walking, but it reaches back into our horrible past so that God's grace can repair us. The amazing thing is that the gospel doesn't even need to undo our past. Rather, it redeems our past for our good and all to the praise of Christ. Do you see how the Christian is the only one who can live without regrets? We don't have to be stuck looking in the rear view, because we can become innocent. The Christian life is one of looking to Christ and continually repenting and rejoicing. Repenting and rejoicing is where the Protestant Reformation started. The first of Martin Luther's theses was that when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent, He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. The influence of repentance unto life extends to every part of us. And it challenges us here in our horizontal relationships as well as the vertical one. And it proves to be a powerful witness to a watching world where the pursuit of self-fulfillment leaves scars in every generation. I'll finish this devotional by saying, we can rejoice that we're not living each day like it is our last, seeking fulfillment in the now. We live each day like it is our last by seeking that which fulfills us now and forever. You're not trying to live life as so to die with no regrets. Rather, you're straining forward with no regrets because you are not going to die. My friend, your repentance leads to salvation with no regrets. Remember who you are and who you belong to.